The Sports Addict Radio Network proudly presents The Jerry Miller Show.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Opinions and information for the Wahoo and Hokie Nations.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
You can reach the program by calling 866-356-ESPN.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Or you can email the show at jerry@cvasports.com.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's your host, Jerry Miller.
Show me the money!
Welcome back to the show, guys. The Jerry Miller Show. I'm Jerry Miller. We are in Hour 2, live in 3 states and 5 affiliates. And, guys, it's Tuesday, top of Hour 2. It means Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. If you have a question for the associate editor of TechSideline.com, give us a call, 866-356-ESPN, 866-356-3776. Have your question ready to go, because we're going to try to take as many as possible for a man that knows this football team inside and out. Mr. Coleman, good afternoon, sir.
How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for joining us, and we'll start with an open-ended question for you. What did you think of the victory over Georgia Tech?
Well, you know, any win is a good win. I kind of thought the Hokies got away with one. They were +3 in the turnover margin. Kind of got bailed out on their game-winning field goal drive with that helmet-to-helmet call on that third down play. But, you know, overall, you know, I thought they played fairly well. I thought the offensive line was a lot better this week. They really didn't play very well against East Carolina or Furman, but obviously something lit a fire under them going into this game, and they played very well against a very good defensive line. So I'm pleased with the progress of the offensive line. You know, obviously they need some work in the passing game. You know, Tyrod Taylor obviously brings a new dimension to the team at quarterback. Darren Evans is running the ball really well. You'd like to see still some better tackling from the safeties on defense, but that's a very tough offense to prepare for in just 1 week. So, you know, I think North Carolina is going to be a more traditional test this week. You know, this past week was a test, but it was such a different system that you still really don't know where this team is at defensively right now.
And we'll get to the passing offense. The Virginia Tech passing offense ranks 116th out of 119 Division I-A teams. At 85 yards per game, they had just 48 yards against Georgia Tech, 3.4 yards per completion from Tyrod Taylor. I understand that's a very important statistic in keeping defenses honest and balanced, Chris. But at the same time, if Taylor's going to give you 15 carries for 74 yards on the ground, 4.9 a tote, and one trip to pay dirt, can we not overlook the poor passing statistics?
Yeah, you know, you can to a certain extent, but at some point you've got to be able to challenge defenses downfield, I think. And, they had a couple of chances against Georgia Tech. They had Danny Cole running open on a post pattern, wide open on a post pattern at one point in the second half. But Taylor was actually pressured on the play and forced to roll out to his left, and he could just never get the pass off. You know, so, I mean, it's just little breakdowns like that in the passing game. And you know, Ike Whitaker didn't play a single down at wide receiver this past Saturday, so that means the four guys the Hokies trotted out there on the field at wide receiver were guys who didn't play at all last year. They're all three of them true freshmen, one of them a redshirt freshman, you know, so there's still not a lot of experience out there. And, you know, it's just going to – we have to take it week by week, you know. I mean, it has to get better, obviously, from 116th, but, you know – just not sure where that ceiling is this year.
And another one of those wide receivers, Victor Macho Harris, caught a pass. Granted, he lost a yard against Georgia Tech. The Roanoke Times reports today, Chris, that Coach Beamer has said Macho Harris will be infused much more in the offense. What were your thoughts on that report?
Well, you know, I've noticed he's not on the kickoff return team anymore, so I think they're trying to save him a little bit there. You know, you can't have him on the field for every single play the entire game, obviously. But I think he played 9 plays at wide receiver against Georgia Tech. You know, not very good results. He had that one pass for -1 yard, and he fumbled a little reverse pitch that Greg Boone tossed him. I wish he had caught that, because I wanted to see if that was actually a reverse or maybe some kind of reverse pass. I don't know. But, Macho's a guy that Beamer really likes in the open field. So, you know, we'll just have to see how he gets in and how they can get him involved, because, you know, he's inexperienced at wide receiver also. He's basically just like a freshman at wide receiver. I mean, he's got more experience on a college football field, obviously, but you know, he's got about as much experience as those guys playing wide receiver, so I'm really not expecting him to make that big of an impact at wide receiver.
Chris Coleman is our guest of TechSideline.com. He's the associate editor. Mr. Coleman, you got a question coming in from Willie Fresh. Willie, we have you on the hotline, sir.
Yes, how you doing?
Good. What's your question for Mr. Coleman, Willie Fresh?
Well, it more has to do with Virginia, but it kind of relates to Virginia Tech as well. I mean, barring Virginia losing a bunch of players in the offseason, wouldn't you say that Virginia really this season came down to missed recruits over the past 4 to 5 years instead of just, you know, playing bad now? I mean, they've really lost out on the recruiting battle in the past 4 to 5 years. What's your take on that?
Good phone call. Thank you, sir, for your perspective. That's Willie Fresh. I think it's a lot of truth of why Virginia has struggled, and that's one of my beefs kind of, Chris, with Al Groh is Frank Beamer, Jim Cavanaugh have dominated in-state recruiting. Had Al Groh and the Virginia coaching staff, you know, kept it a little closer from an in-state standpoint, maybe some of those big-time players that went Blacksburg's way would have gone to Charlottesville. And now in a year where clearly Virginia doesn't have the personnel, those guys certainly could have helped Al Groh, Mike Groh, and Bob Pruitt. What do you think, Mr. Coleman?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think when you change over staff members every single year, I think it's really tough to get traction recruiting, especially in a state that Virginia Tech has had locked down for quite a while now. You know, Virginia Tech has pretty much their same main recruiters as they had, 10, 15 years ago. Jim Cavanaugh, Brian Steinspring, I mean, all those guys have been here for quite a while. Plus, you throw in Kevin Newsom Kurt Newsom a couple of years back, who's an excellent in the Tidewater area. Virginia Tech has this state on lockdown right now, you know, for the most part. They have excellent relations with all the high school coaches, for the most part. So, you know, and I think it's really tough for UVA to get traction, particularly when there's so much staff turnover each year. You know, it's tough to form those relationships with high school coaches. And, you know, you go back in time, and you look at the recruitment of Sean Glennon, and UVA did not offer Sean Glennon. He was a guy right in their backyard, a prototypical pocket passer that would have been a pretty good fit for their offense. And instead, they go out to California and offer, Scott Deakey?
Scott Deakey, you're exactly right.
That they go offer him. And how many times have they seen him play in person, you know? What kind of a relationship do they have with his high school coach? And, you know, he's a guy who he came in, got in a little bit as a backup in the blowout loss to UConn the other night. But other than that, really hasn't been a contributor. He's been no threat to earn the starting job. But there was Sean Glennon, a top five player in the state who UVA did not even offer. Instead, going out to California and get a guy they know virtually nothing about. Now, that kind of strategy just does not make sense to me.
And, Mr. Coleman, to add to that and to give you more ammunition for your argument, they had Sean Glennon there thinking about UVA with Eddie Royal sitting shotgun with Sean.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. And, you know, it's just things like that, I think. Sometimes I question their decision-making up there when it comes to recruiting. You know, you see them going out of state a whole lot. Now, granted, they really don't have much of a choice at this point because Virginia Tech does such a good job in state, and you know, UVA with so much staff changeover, you know, and they're a team that can go out of state because they have that national name. They're the University of Virginia. They're known for their academics, so they have a national name where they can recruit out of state quite a bit and, you know, get some good players like Eugene Monroe. But at the same time, when you go out of state, when you go outside your region, you're not as familiar with that high school coach. Maybe you can't trust his player evaluation like you can a guy in state that you're familiar with, and it just gets a lot more questionable, I think.
And I think you're exactly right. Chris Coleman, smart man of TechSideline.com, the associate editor. I'm going to add some more fuel, Chris, and then I'll give you time to talk about it. Then we'll go the one-hitter route, picking up the pace and tempo. You recruit the kid out of state. He knows less about your program, knows less about the Virginia Tech rivalry, so maybe it doesn't mean as much to him as it does a Tyrod Taylor, a kid from Northern Virginia, the 757. I'm going to add another thing to this argument. Virginia Tech offers a physical education major. A lot of these football players, a lot of the athletes are going the PE major route, then becoming PE teachers in the state of Virginia. The PE teachers are oftentimes the head coaches on the high school level. The head coach on the high school level has significant say of where the high school prospect for his particular team is going to play college. UVA does not have a PE major, so those student athletes have to major in sociology and anthropology, so they're not staying in the state coaching high school athletics and funding funneling their star high school players to the UVA. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, you know, I think you might have a point there. A lot of times when you see these recruits get interviewed, or when you see their coaches get interviewed, you know, the writers will note Coach so-and-so played his college football at Virginia Tech. And you see that quite a bit. You know, there are a lot of high school football coaches in the state that, you know, were at least maybe, at the very least, you know, a walk-on for a semester or two at Virginia Tech. So, you know, there's a lot of loyalty throughout the high school programs in this state to Virginia Tech. So I think that's an excellent point.
Chris Coleman, our guest of TechSideline.com, good man, joins us on Tuesday. At top of hour two, we'll pick up the pace and tempo with Mr. Coleman with some quick hitters. Kenny Lewis Jr., the starter in place of Evans, the ACC Rookie of the Week. Did you agree with the call?
No, absolutely not. Darren Evans is producing right now, and he needs to start.
Tyrod Taylor, how did you grade his performance against Georgia Tech?
You know, I'd give him a solid B. Did a lot with his legs. Passing game leaves a lot to be desired, but there are other issues there that are preventing that from being more successful.
Brent Warren, the ACC Defensive Lineman of the Week. He went bananas, a career-high 15 tackles. Do you expect this from Brent Warren, or was this an aberration?
No, Brent Warren's a good linebacker, I think, so I'm not shocked he had a good performance. He had a lot of opportunities, and for the most part, he took advantage of them.
Why is North Carolina a 2.5-point favorite?
Oh, because they're playing better than Virginia Tech right now, I think. Well, they look more explosive offensively, and they're playing at home, so I think that's the reason.
Who's the best team in the division?
Right now? Oh, goodness. maybe Miami. Maybe Miami. That's a team nobody's mentioning. They at least look competent against Florida. I'm not sure anybody else in this division could put that good a fight up against Florida.
Did you leave confident with Virginia Tech in the win over Georgia Tech, or did you leave, like me, somewhat impressed with Paul Johnson's team? Three turnovers, bad penalties, a lot of penalties, and still the Yellow Jackets very much in that contest.
Yeah, you know, I was really impressed with Georgia Tech. I'm not all that confident in Virginia Tech going down to North Carolina this week. Like I said, you know, it's a matchup issue with Carolina's receivers against Tech's safeties, and they're a more traditional opponent. So I'm not sure what we can take defensively out of that Georgia Tech game.
CC, you are very smart. Let's give this man love. 866-356-ESPN, a hop on board. Mr. Coleman, thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir. Enjoyed it.
All right. Good man right there. He joins us on Tuesdays. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. It's the Jerry Miller Show. I'm Jerry Miller. We run headlines on the other side of the break. You'll have a local sports update coming from me in Blacksburg and in the Central Virginia areas. Mike Tingle's going to hop on board to hop through headlines. I'll have audio from Clinton Portis, Santana Moss, and Chris Cooley at the bottom of the hour, the last segment of the show. Both are talking about what it was like to get a fantastic victory over the New Orleans Saints. I'm Jerry Miller. It's the Jerry Miller Show.